Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today as we move closer to Good Friday. But as good as Friday was, Sunday's even better. And we're going to have a lot going on today, folks. Our good friend, Dr. Michael Youssef, is going to drop by from one of my favorite ministers in all the country. He's going to drop by and talk about Easter. Also, Roma Downey, her husband, of course, created the Survivor series. She has a beautiful movie out, an Easter movie, and we're going to be talking to Roma a little bit later on in the program, along with you guys, the great listeners of this radio station. And I just, I don't know if you've been following the developments, the number of new stations we're adding, but we're excited to announce that we're going to be broadcasting this program in Dallas, Texas, and Minneapolis starting on Monday. And, of course, you folks in Gainesville, Georgia, you will be hearing this radio program live, noon to 3 Eastern, starting on Monday as well. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com. We have a live show blog up, and for all of our new listeners, this is a place where you can go get information about the stories we're talking about. If we have a guest on, we have links to all of their social media platforms. If we're talking about a book, you'll be able to go to the live show blog and actually click on the book to get yourself a copy of whatever book we're talking about. So, toddstarnes.com live show blog. Yesterday, President Biden had an interview with ESPN. And you need to understand what's happening in the state of Georgia. This is very, very important because big sports, big tech, big media, big business, they're going after you and your values. And they're doing this especially in the state of Georgia. Just a few days ago, Georgia lawmakers passed a voter ID law. And this law is very important. Quite frankly, every state in the nation ought to have one of these. They're trying to protect the integrity of the ballot. They're trying to make sure that dead people don't vote. They're trying to make sure that Democrats do not vote more than at least one time. And now the Republicans, the Governor Brian Kemp, state lawmakers are catching holy you-know-what. They're being accused of being racist. They're being accused of bringing back Jim Crow. And now you have big business trying to turn the screws and blackmail the state of Georgia into reversing course here and doing away with the voter ID law. And this is going to happen in your state. You say, well, Todd, how can you say that? It's always the hyperbole with you. How can you possibly say that? Well, just look at what happened in North Carolina. College sports came in, the NCAA came in and said, big basketball state, you people in North Carolina, if you do not implement bathroom laws, if you do not allow men to use bathrooms with little girls, then we're going to pull our tournaments out of your state. And what happened? Well, faster than you could say Jiminy Cricket, the state of North Carolina opened up all of its bathrooms, all of its locker rooms, all of the dressing rooms at Target to men who think they are women. And so if you are in Raleigh, North Carolina, and you go into the bathroom at the McDonald's, you're probably, your little sweet little girl is going to be probably in a stall next to a big burly dude wearing a dress and pantyhose. Because the NCAA demands that. So now you have all of these states, and by the way, let's talk about South Dakota. Just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about this, where Governor Kristi Noem, who is a rock-solid Republican, a conservative, even she came under fire and refused to sign a bill that would have protected biological women in sports. So all of you folks who have a sweet little girl who runs cross country, she is now, at least in the state of South Dakota, and other states. She is now going to have to compete with big, burly teenage boys with hairy legs who want to play women's basketball and women's volleyball and girls' track and field. They're terrified of losing businesses. They're terrified of the NCAA. But the state of Georgia, and you got to hand it to Brian Kemp, got to hand it to the Republican lawmakers. They stood their ground, and they said, we're going to do what is right here, no matter the cost. Because you had Hollywood coming in and saying, well, if they're not going to do what we want them to do, we're just going to take our movies and go somewhere else. Hello, Arkansas. And Arkansas's like, we don't want you. You just stay in Georgia. We don't want you folks over here. We don't want your kind of trouble. Then you had the major league sporting organizations coming after the state of Georgia. And ESPN talked about this last night with President Joe Biden. And they asked him, what do you think ought to happen here? How should the state of Georgia be punished? Cut number four, please.
Sports and politics cross paths sometimes. That's exactly what happened last week in Major League Baseball. Tony Clark is the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association. He said he would, quote, look forward to discussing moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta because Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed into law a bill passed by the Republican-led state legislature to overhaul how its state elections are run. So, Mr. President, what do you think about the possibility that baseball decides to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this political issue?
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that. People look to them. They're leaders. Look at what's happened with the NBA as well. Look at what's happened across the board. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states. What is it all about? Imagine passing a law saying you cannot provide water or food for someone standing in line to vote. Can't do that? Come on. Or you're going to close a polling place at 5 o'clock when working people just get off. This is all about keeping working folks and ordinary folks that I grew up with from being able to vote.
If they do decide to move the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, it won't be the first time in professional sports they moved the 2017 NBA All-Star Game out of Charlotte for political reasons.
I see. That is a load of hooey, Mr. President. A load of hooey. Actually, it's a lie. It is a flat-out lie what the president said. And he's spewing the talking points. And I want to go through some of this so you know you are equipped, you are armed with the facts here on what the state of Georgia is trying to do. Now, they have been trying to tell you in the mainstream media that people are not going to be allowed to eat or drink. They'll not be allowed to be given a cup of water. They will not be given a saltine cracker because they are in line to vote. And if they don't want to stand in line, they can just starve to death. Now, for the record, we actually went in and did the research here, and to our knowledge, at least in modern American history, not a single person in the state of Georgia has died of malnourishment, has died of starvation or dehydration while standing in a line to vote on Election Day. And it's important for you guys to know that fact. Meanwhile, according to the law, this is what it says, and I'm going to read this to you so you can hear from me what this law says. Polling stations are protected from electioneering by private individuals. Within 150 feet of the precinct, election officials may provide water at stations beyond 150 feet, as previous Georgia law allowed. Private individuals may campaign and provide food and water for voters. So there you have it. All the state of Georgia was trying to say is they don't want the Democrats coming in with a bucket of KFC and walking up and down the line as people are getting ready to vote and passing out chicken legs. They don't want that. Now, if the Democrats want to set up a chicken buffet, all you can eat, right outside of the polling station, as long as you're 150 feet away or beyond, knock yourself out. Have at it. So you see, it's a big lie, and you cannot believe what the mainstream media is telling you. It should be appalling to all of us that this is happening. Take, for example, the chief executive officer of Delta Airlines, which is the airline that I typically travel. The chief executive officer came out, and now he's condemning the law. What are they going to do? Move Delta out of Atlanta? Now, this guy, his name is Ed Bastian. He is the chief executive officer of Delta. He's come under fire because he kept his mouth shut. He didn't weigh in on anything, and why should he? Their job is to fly airplanes, not weigh in on political process. But finally, the cancel culture mob got to him, and Mr. Bastian went out there and released a statement. And he says that the new law is racist, and it amounts to racially motivated voter suppression. How dare the state of Georgia require people to show an ID to vote on Election Day? Who do you think you are, Georgia? That's what Delta CEO Ed Bastian had to say. So I did a little bit of research on this, and I know we have a lot of listeners across Georgia, the Peach State. And I found something out about this guy. It turns out, because I smelled something about Ed Bastian, something just did not pass the smell test. Turns out, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bastian is a Yankee man. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, a man from Poughkeepsie, New York, is in charge of Delta Airlines in the Deep South. So no wonder this guy's a moron. But the reality here is, a couple of days ago, I flew Delta Airlines. And you know what happened when I went to Delta Airlines? I'm a Diamond Medallion member. That means I fly a whole lot. I walked up to the Sky Miles lane, and they have a lovely red carpet there, and you can walk up there, and the lady will smile at you and say, "Welcome back, Mr. Starnes. It's always so good to see you." And they know me by name over at Memphis International Airport because I'm there just about every other week, or at least I used to be before the pandemic. But I'm there a lot, and they know me, and they know who I am. Many of them used to watch me on Fox News. And the lovely ticket agent there at the Delta Airlines counter at Memphis International Airport, as she is taking my luggage and putting it up on the rack to be weighed, and she will look at me and she goes, "Mr. Starnes, I need to see your ID." They know me. They know who I am. They see me on TV. They listen to me on the radio. They read my books. They know who I am. But what does the law say? I have to have an ID to get on board Delta Airlines. So my question to Mr. Ed Bastian of Poughkeepsie, New York, does that make your airline racist? Is it true that Delta Airlines is now operating under a Jim Crow philosophy? Because you got to have an ID if you want to get on board a Delta Airlines jet. Does that mean that Ed Bastian of Poughkeepsie, New York is conducting racially motivated passenger suppression? Is that possible? We got to take a break. I got a lot more to say about this. We're going to stand alongside the good people of Georgia as they protect their ballot box. And I hope you are too, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, tomorrow, Good Friday, but what happens on Sunday is even better. That never gets old. I love saying that because it's true. I mean, this is the most important holiday, these next few days for Christians, as we commemorate, as we remember the ultimate sacrifice that was made for every single person on the face of this earth, and then the promise and the prophecy fulfilled, the stone was rolled away, and we serve a risen Savior here on the Todd Stearns radio program. We do not shy away from that. We do not shy away from talking about faith, because we believe, at least here in America, that we are one nation under God, and the foundation of our nation, our founding documents, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is rooted in this idea that these are God-given freedoms, not man-made freedoms. So anyway, we're very excited. Tomorrow's going to be a fun show. Our good friend Dr. Robert Jeffress is going to drop by this weekend. I plan on watching a brand new movie coming out on Discovery Plus, which is a terrific platform. The name of the movie is called Resurrection, and the person behind this incredible movie is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now. Great to have back to the program, Roma Downey. Roma, how's it going today?
It is going wonderfully well. Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to get to speak with you today.
You know, I've always enjoyed your films, and they are so well done. And what I find interesting about this new project is it's coming at the resurrection from a very different angle.
Yes, we decided to tell this story from the point of view of the disciples, and it hasn't really been done that way before. The movie opens at the crucifixion, and we know from Scripture that it was only John the Beloved, Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who remained at the foot of the cross. We know that Judas had already betrayed Jesus. And so it begs the question, where had the other 10 gone? And so our first dramatic scene really is the regrouping of those 10 disciples, because of course they all ran away, scared for their own lives. It's a very dangerous time. They just killed Jesus. They might have been next. And as they come back together, we see their grief and heartbreak at having lost Jesus, their beloved teacher, their Lord. We see their confusion at having lost their leader. They're not quite sure what to do next. We see their fear because they know they're going to be hunted down and probably murdered as well. And we see a little bit of their shame and guilt that they left Jesus, that they ran away. And it's the perfect kind of ingredients for us to tell the story while remaining accurate to Scripture, but breathing in nuance and emotional connection. It plays out like a thriller, really, set in this dangerous first century world. But it's such a powerful story because we know, of course, as Christians, that hope didn't die on the cross. And this is ultimately a story of triumph, a story of overcoming, and for all the fear and anxiety that we have all felt this past year with the COVID pandemic, for all the places that we have been locked in our own tombs, as we've been shut in our own homes, isolated from our families, I think we're all desperate for a resurrection in our own lives, right? So we can step back out into the life, step back out, get our schools open freely and get our businesses back up and running. And so I feel like the symbolism even of the film as directed to our own lives is important for such a time as this.
You know, Roma, I was thinking back to some of the other projects that you've done, the Bible, Son of God, and you would talk about during the filming process, there would almost be these supernatural, these spiritual events happening. And you talked about this, the spiritual warfare. I mean, what you guys are doing is so impactful. Has this surprised you that these kinds of things are happening in the filming process?
No, because I absolutely believe this to be true, you know, that spiritual warfare is real. And I think if you're trying to create something God-honoring and, you know, that's designed ultimately to glorify God, that, you know, you have to expect that, you know, that there will be opposition to that. We, you know, with that in mind, we've always just called in, you know, prayer groups from all our friends and our church communities and, you know, prayer groups around the country for ourselves, for everybody involved in the projects. And, you know, I can't tell you how delighted we are, because we didn't know that we would get the film ready in time for this Easter. Then we thought perhaps we would be able to play it in theaters, but some theaters are open, some are not. You know, the feeling was it was still maybe not going to be safe to gather in large groups. And so we're delighted that we got the partnership of Discovery Plus, which is a fairly new streaming platform. And I'm kind of useless at figuring these things out, but it's fairly easy. It's like you just go to discoveryplus.com/resurrection and download the app. And now you can watch the movie. You can get a free trial. Check it out. Watch the movie. And I'm sure that you'll love what you see on there. All the other shows are very family friendly. That was important to me when I was trying to figure out a home for this film. And I love that people are going to be able to gather in the comfort and safety of their own homes this Easter and watch the film together. I'm really hopeful that maybe people can make a date with their own family and sit down and be reminded of the beauty of what a love story this really is.
So I'm taking a tangent here, Roma, so just bear with me for a moment. You mentioned family friendly, and my dear friend Karen Kingsbury has a book series out called The Baxters, and I didn't realize that you were in the Baxters TV series.
Yes. Well, here's an example of, you know, yes, it's a beautiful series. Listen, it's a great book. We love Karen Kingsbury. We love the Baxter series. We love the Baxter family and all their adventures and all their ups and their downs and everything in between. And I myself have stepped into the role of Elizabeth Baxter. So it took a lot to get me to come back in front of the camera. As you know, I've been really exploring and enjoying my world as producer, but I produced the Baxter series and stepped into the role of Elizabeth Baxter. So we're very hopeful that that we will be able to announce this year where our home for the Baxters will be. And so it's all the more reason why movies like, you know, Resurrection, we're hoping it pulls in a big audience, because then it sends a clear message to places like Discovery Plus and other streamers that that the Christian audience does show up for quality content.
That's true.
They show up in big numbers, and you know, that'll really help when we're deciding where to put Baxters.
Roma, I'm curious, back to the Resurrection and the movies that you have done. Yes, this is about entertaining people, but it's also about conveying a life-changing message as well. And I'm wondering if you've heard stories from people who have watched these films and their lives have been impacted.
Yes, we have heard so many stories about hearts that were transformed after the Bible series, which of course was seen by over 100 million Americans alone in this country. We had stories through, you know, through our friends at Rick Warren and other pastors of churches around the country telling us that so many people came to Christ as a result of the show. And so we're hoping, you know, we believe that the faithful will show up and watch Resurrection on television this weekend. But we're also prayerful maybe that somebody who doesn't know anything about the story of Jesus might stumble into it, because it's just a great movie. You know, it plays out like a great thriller. It's gritty, and it's, you know, it's got a Hans Zimmer score. I mean, it's big, epic stuff. You know, because everybody should at least know the story, and, you know, and maybe someone whose heart is closed might experience an opening of their heart. We pray for that, of course.
It's a beautiful thing that's happening, and Roma, looking forward to watching this over the Easter weekend on Discovery Plus. God bless you, and thank you for providing films that the entire family can enjoy. I know so many of our listeners appreciate that.
Yes, well, and I'd love to just take this opportunity to wish you and all your listeners a very safe, a very happy and holy Easter.
Well said. Roma Downey, ladies and gentlemen, just a wonderful, wonderful sister in the Lord. And she is doing some amazing work, and God bless her. This weekend, you can watch Resurrection on Discovery Plus. If you don't have the app, you can download the app.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes. from Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
And hello, America. It is an honor to be broadcasting from our flagship radio station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. Hope you are doing great wherever you might be. Want to say hello to all of our great listeners in the state of Nevada on the Nevada Talk Network. Also, our great listeners today up in the great state of Maine on WLOB, the Big Lobster. That's Ray Richardson country. Hope you guys are doing good today, getting ready for Good Friday. I know a lot of folks very busy traveling, going out on spring break, going home to visit the family. So you guys be safe out there as you are driving across the fruited plain. Go ahead and write down our toll-free number. You're going to need this if you want to call in this hour of the program. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com. Well, I'm very excited about our next guest. I have watched his TV ministry for a number of years. He is the pastor of a wonderful church in Atlanta, Georgia, and he is also a prolific author. Brand new book out, Hope for This Present Crisis, The Seven-Step Path to Restoring a World Gone Mad. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line is Dr. Michael Youssef. Pastor Youssef, what an honor to have you with us today.
Oh, wonderful to be back with you, Todd. What a great joy.
Well, congratulations on the new book. It is, and quite frankly, it's one of these for such a time as this books.
Yes, yes, indeed. I felt I'm very careful not to told me because you always blame God for a lot of things. But I really felt compelled. The Lord has kind of pressured me, pressed on my heart that I am the one to write this book because we have so much polarization in this country right now, and when the judgment is on the basis of skin color, I felt fully qualified being born in Africa. Have had the privilege, and I'm a privileged person, might not be white privileged, but I'm privileged to live in America. Every person who lives in America is a privileged person, and they must never forget that. And if they doubt me, I'll be happy to raise the money and give them a one-way ticket to Tehran, Iran.
Well, no doubt about that, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, Dr. Youssef. I was reading a column you wrote a couple of weeks ago, or you were mentioned in a couple of weeks ago at Christian Post, talking about how this woke cancel culture movement is creeping into the evangelical church. We've been talking about this quite a bit on this program. I'm a Southern Baptist. I'm afraid our denomination has become infected with this. What are you seeing out there? What's the lay of the land?
Well, there's so many mega church pastors, unfortunately, in order to extend their popularity to a fallen culture, a sinful culture, they have gone along with it instead of standing and saying, thus says the Lord, and that the focus of my ministry is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, raised from the dead to save sinners, repentant sinners. Instead of that, they're now trying to pander to the so-called woke culture. I call it woke religion because it's a religion. It's not just a woke culture. It's a religion. And they are fighting for their religion, which is a fake, false religion, much more than we who have been given the truth to stand up and be counted. And so I believe with all my heart that the problem with celebrity pastors is their popularity, and they want to keep that popularity going. So they go along with the flow instead of standing up and saying, thus says the Lord. So this is really a problem right now. And I'm not saying everybody, thank God there are so many knees have not bowed down to Baal. And I know who they are, and I know many of them. But there are some in the mega church pastors who really kind of sold their birthright for a pot of soup. And it's a cheap soup, too. And my plea from the pages of this book, somebody called me today, that somebody you would know, a well-known person, he said, this reminds me of Thomas Paine, Common Sense. And he said, I am praying that this book will ignite a movement in America to wake us up to how far we have come. And so I am literally pleading through the pages of the book, here are the problems, here's the crisis, how we got here. But in the end, I give hope. I'm glad to curse the darkness, but I'm also more ready to light a candle. And that's what I do, 7 points of hope that we can literally restore what has been lost in this culture, in this generation.
And, you know, you take people back to the 1980s. You, at the time, were an Episcopal priest. And
yep.
Even then, you were seeing this. They weren't calling it wokeness, but you were seeing this ideology being birthed in the high church in America.
Yes. And what happened, is the amazing thing is, you already know this, I'm born in Africa, right? And I came here, been out of Egypt for 53 years. But nonetheless, that's my, the map on my face and everything else, that's where I come from. And so I go to this convention, and they said that every church, now mind you, this is 35 years ago, every church must pledge to hire a minority. Okay, and so they're forced that even if they can't afford it, they're going to hire a minority. Okay, whatever minority they mean by that. And my church, and I'm the only one who wouldn't sign. And they said, why? I said, I'm an African-American pastor. What more minority can you get? It is so ludicrous. But this has been creeping in, as I tell people. I said, look, I've been in that fight before, and I have the scars to prove it. I never, never thought that I'm going to see this battle in the evangelical church. And so many of the mega church pastors who are literally departing from biblical truth and apologizing for past preaching of biblical truth. And I just never thought I'd see that day. But here I am, almost 73, and I'm seeing it happening all over the place. And so it is time for the people of God to rise up.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Dr. Michael Youssef. And Dr. Youssef, I want to talk about a couple of things related to this issue of wokeness in the church. First of all, why is it, why do you think that the churches have been targeted? I mean, I was so surprised to see so many pastors willingly shutting down their churches, doing what the government told them to do during the pandemic. What do you think is ultimately behind all of this?
Well, you know, there's always, you know, the forces of evil have always been, look, from the moment Jesus was born, and the people, I mean, from Herod to everybody else want to kill him. Okay, I mean, they want to kill the truth. And this, from the day God made Adam and Eve in the garden, and the devil came and he wanted to destroy them. How he deceived them, did God really say this? And so this is really the old trick. Satan appears as an angel of light. And so we want to prove to people that we are so loving. But we are loving. We love people by telling them the truth, not by going along with their lie. That is really, so imagine I'm a doctor and somebody walks up to me and says, and I examine them and I found there's a tumor, but I don't want to hurt their feelings. So I say, well, you know, you're doing okay. Just keep going. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're not telling the truth in order to be liked, in order to be accepted, in order to be adored. Instead of, and I've never seen Jesus anywhere in the gospel worried about offending the Pharisees. He's never been a concern of his. The truth is the truth is the truth. And speaking the truth is important. You see, our church has every nationality, and we have so many African-Americans and whites and everybody. And in fact, Congressman James Watt from Oklahoma preached for me one time, and he went to a press conference in Washington, and he said, Michael Youssef's church is like what heaven is going to be like. I mean, literally. And we love each other, and we don't make any distinction between men, women, ethnic groups, and that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be. You love one another so much, you don't even notice these things.
It's true. It's true. Well, Dr. Youssef, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, folks, we have a link to the book on our live show blog, Hope for This Present Crisis, and the operative word there is hope. Dr. Youssef, thank you so much for coming on the program today, and we wish all of you and your family and your congregation a happy Easter.
Thank you, my dear brother. God bless you.
All right. Dr. Michael Youssef there. So, all right. And again, we have all that info right now on the live show blog. Sorry about the phones. Sometimes when we have our guests calling in, they're using some sort of a device where those little beeps and blurps and things like that happen. But I think you got the gist of that conversation. All right, here's what we're going to do. Take a break. When we come back, opening up the phone lines. And I'm curious, have you seen this wokeness creeping into your church, into your denomination? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. One of the things that we have committed to do on this program is to make sure that every Republican senator, every Republican congressman who stood against President Trump is punished at the ballot box, because these Republicans do not represent the will of the people. They do not reflect or represent the will of Republican voters. And we need lawmakers. We need Republican lawmakers who are true conservatives and not Republicans in name only. So we just got word yesterday of some exciting news out of the state of Alaska, where one of the people on our list, Senator Lisa Murkowski, is going to face some stiff opposition. On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, I'm very excited to welcome for the first time, and hopefully not the last, Kelly Chewbacca, who is running against Lisa Murkowski. Kelly, what an honor to have you with us today.
I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm curious, because you've got a lot on your plate already. You've got a great family, a big family, and you could be doing a lot of things, but you decided that you were going to step away from the current administration in Alaska and take on Lisa Murkowski. What was it that compelled you to do that?
Simply put, my heart for Alaska. Look, my parents moved up here when there was a lot of opportunity. Life wasn't always easy for them. They were even homeless for a while, but they've got Alaska values. They fought their way to the middle class. I was first in my family to get to pursue a college degree, and life turned out pretty well for us, but that's not the same Alaska that we grew up in. Alaska's struggling today. I'm a conservative. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I'm pro-life. I believe in America first, always. And I'm not a pushover. But in Alaska here, Lisa Murkowski's been our senator for about 20 years. She's been voting with those D.C. insiders, especially the liberal ones, and she's not standing up for us. She's not standing up to the Biden administration while it's killing our oil and gas jobs. She's voted to allow illegal immigrants to come into our country, even if they commit crimes. And she's not voting for those common sense judges that would protect and preserve our Second Amendment rights. So many Alaskans just feel forgotten by Lisa Murkowski, but we have a fire in our heart to rebuild our state, because we remember what our state once was, and we want it to be like that again. So I want to go to D.C., and I want to fight for Alaska.
You know, I was reading your background, and I could relate. I mean, I grew up in a working class family. A lot of conservatives came out of working class or middle class families. And so you have those values, those roots. And I really do think that this is going to be the future of this party, the party that President Trump built and brought in so many working class Americans into the Republican Party.
You know, that's right. I remember when my parents struggled to make their mortgage payment month after month. Alaskans are in that place right now. And when life was hard for me as a kid, Alaskans fought for me. I want to fight for them. I think you're right that that's what America is feeling right now. The Alaskan Republican Party recently censured Lisa Murkowski. They said, inside our state borders, you are not allowed to call yourself a Republican. This is not an act of passion. This is not about me. This is about we. We feel forgotten. We want an Alaskan inside the Senate, not a D.C. insider who's fighting for the D.C. interest.
I'm curious, Kelly, how is it that Lisa Murkowski has betrayed voters in Alaska?
Well, there's simple things that have really made people mad. You know, she campaigned, for example, in 2016 on getting rid of Obamacare, but then she was the deciding vote to keep Obamacare. Alaskan Republicans were really angry that she voted to impeach Donald Trump when he was already out of office. And then she says it's her constitutional duty, as if we can't read the Constitution and it says impeachment's to remove someone. Lisa Murkowski has celebrated and applauded the Biden administration coming in. And then he took aim at us on day one. None of the other 49 states are saying this, but Lisa Murkowski herself said it was like he was targeting us and attacking us. Well, he said in his campaign debates that he was going to end oil and gas drilling. And that's exactly what our state depends on for our economy. We knew he was going to attack Alaska, and she didn't care. She celebrated, applauded, and opened the door for his presidency. And we are under attack up here in Alaska. Our men and women are losing their oil and gas jobs, and it's killing us.
You know, I've looked at your resume, and it's incredibly powerful, incredibly strong. You first in the family, as you mentioned, to pursue a college degree, on to law school. You've been working for the Republican administration there in Alaska. Kelly, I'm curious, what do you think is going to be the motivating factor for voters? What are you hearing from your fellow Republicans there in Alaska about Murkowski?
Quite simply, I know that my number one job is to work for Alaskans. Lisa Murkowski's forgotten she works for Alaskans. She's more interested in working for D.C. insiders. But you mentioned my resume. For 20 years, Lisa Murkowski's been in D.C. fighting with the liberal insiders. She got this seat handed to her by her dad. We know what her vote record is. You know, we know you are what your record says you are. In contrast, for about 20 years now, I've been working to expose waste and fraud in government, hold D.C. insiders accountable, and then return hundreds of millions of dollars to American taxpayers. One of the fortunate experiences I've had was being a chief data officer for a federal agency. So using data analytics as the cutting edge methodology we have for finding out where the government is spending money we don't want it to and return money to our taxpayers. That's one of the ways that I can help Alaskans. But most importantly, I'm listening to Alaskans, and that's how I'll be able to fight for Alaska inside D.C. I'm not a pushover. I've made a lot of insiders unhappy, and I'm still going to stand up for what we believe here in Alaska.
Well, it sounds like, in a way, you've been doing your part to drain the swamp.
I guess you could say that, but, you know, those are just simply Alaskan values. In Alaska, we fight for what we believe. We value that you talk straight, work with grit and perseverance. We value our freedom, and we love our country. We love our state. I would say those are American values. Lisa Murkowski is just out of touch with that. She's a senator's daughter. She's spent a hell of a lot of time in Washington, D.C. I don't think they ever struggled to pay their mortgage payment. I don't think her parents are ever homeless. But you know what? That's what a lot of Alaskans go through. I mean, that's just the reality that we're in up here. I think that we need to be in touch with our Alaska roots. We want an Alaskan inside the Senate. I think the Senate, I think they're a little bit scared to have someone who can't be silenced, can't be bullied, and can't be controlled. But that's what Alaskans want. That's what Alaskans need.
Kelly for AK.com, by the way, folks, is the website if you'd like to get information on Kelly. Kelly for Alaska is her Twitter handle. I've noticed that there are a lot of Team Trump members that have surrounded you and are supporting your campaign. I'm curious about President Trump. Have you had a chance to talk to him about the race?
I have not had a chance to talk to Donald Trump yet. I would love to have the president's endorsement. You know, I spoke at his first presidential fundraiser here for 2020. I had the honor of working for his administration for 2 years in Washington, D.C. And Alaska has voted for him twice as president, and for good reason. He opened up ANWR for oil and gas development for us that pushed back six decades of restrictions. Lisa's been in Senate for two decades, and she hadn't been able to do that for us. You know, he takes a strong stand on protecting our border for safe and legal immigration. We're concerned about illegal immigration in Alaska. He passed the largest tax cuts in American history. We believe in Alaska that when government grows, freedom shrinks. We like our freedom. And when taxes are low, freedom is high. So we are grateful for that. The other thing we're thankful for is he supports our military. Maybe some of your listeners remember that the last time Joe Biden was at the White House under the Obama administration, they cut military funding between 20 and 25%. We support our military in Alaska, and President Trump rebuilt the strength of our military. We're very concerned that with a Murkowski-supported Biden administration, we're going to see significant decreases in funding for military again, and that's dangerous for America. These are some of the reasons why Alaska supports Donald Trump as president in the last two elections, so I would really appreciate his endorsement.
All right. Well, Kelly, we're going to do our best to get that news out there, and we're gonna support you. I like your values. I like how you think. I like that you're a fighter. It would be exciting to see a change there in the Alaska Senate seat. So God bless you and good luck out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you so much. And thank your listeners so much for their support. I appreciate it. We're at KellyFOR4AK.com. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Kelly Chewbacca, ladies and gentlemen, she is running for the U.S. Senate. As she describes herself on Twitter, she's an Alaskan. She's a wife, a proud mom of five, and she is running to bring our conservative Alaska values to the Senate. We need folks like that running coast to coast, border to border.